Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to The Light of Portland with Pastor Sherelle. Let's talk about the things that affect the body of Christ in this world today and how we can truly impact the world. Enjoy the next song, and following that will be the voice of Pastor Sherelle live in Portland.
Your worship, praise it, I can.
We've been waiting on you. We've been waiting on you.
the same, but I've been changed when I got into the glory of God. The closer that you get to the Lord, the more like him you become and the less like yourself in the world you are. So it depends upon whether or not you have a desire to be molded, shaped, and crafted in the image of the Lord by his hand. The closer you get to the Lord, the closer he wants to make you, mold you, create in you a clean heart and renew in you a right spirit. But you gotta desire it, because God is not a God that he is once robots, but he is a God that he wants worshipers. He wants to come before his throne of grace so that he may have you in a relationship personal to him and personal to you. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. I'm Pastor Sherelle Pennington. We are live here in Portland, Oregon, and it is a good day, the Lord. It is a good day to know who the maker, the author of your finisher of your faith is. It is a good day to know that if God be for you, who can be against you? It is a good day to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It is a good day to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I just want to take the time out before we get started with the Portland, Light of Portland broadcast to just have a solemn moment to acknowledge the lives that have been sacrificed today in Texas, the 26 people that have been cut short from this world by the shooter in Texas, and 26 injured. I want to take the time, I won't say that have been lost, because they were in the house of the Lord worshiping the Lord when he came in and took their lives. So we know that they are absent from this body, but present with the Lord. And so we just want to give glory and honor to the Lord God and to the angels that came down and met them in the house of the Lord. And we want to pray for the man that took the lives of 26 people and then possibly his own life, and just lift him up, because he was a soul searching for something. He was a soul lost and in need of help. And so we just want to pray for those lives and for the families that were touched, the babies that have gone on to be with the Lord tonight. And we want to just let the world and the nation know that no matter what happens, we serve the Lord. And even if it happens that you enter our synagogue where we come to worship, and you take our lives from this side of Jordan, we know where we're going. And so it is not a tragedy in that we don't know where they are. It is a tragedy. Felt enough pain to take lives in his own hand. So let us pray for them as well. Amen. And tonight we want to just give honor where honor is due to our Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is the presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and the presiding prelate over Light of the World Covenant Fellowship Ministries, and to the Butterfields who provide us with this platform to minister the word of God to those that may not be able to enter the four walls of the church. We want to just give them glory and honor and praise for this time that we are able to fellowship together one to another. We also have prayer every Tuesday evening at 11 p.m. and Thursday both at 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific Standard Time. That is Tuesday at 11 p.m. and Thursdays at 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. We have prayer by dialing 774-220-4000. Once again, that number for prayer is 774-220-4000. And then to access the prayer line, you need to dial the access code, which is 55558. Again, that's 55558. And here in Portland, Oregon, I'm excited about what the Lord is doing here in Portland, Oregon. In April, I will be hosting the Woman You Can't Come Down conference. This 2018 theme is Distinction is in You. We want to lift up the women of God. We want to support the women of God. We want to encourage the women of God. And so we will be bringing seven bishops from all over the United States, mostly from the South, that will come and minister the word of God April 20th. We will be hosting Woman You Can't Come Down at Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church, located at 3138 North Vancouver Avenue. Friday night, we'll have service at 7 p.m. with Bishop Belita Feit. And then on Saturday, we will have our classes. And our classes will be taught by Bishop Gene Wilson, Bishop Francis Mills, Bishop Belinda Campbell, Bishop Nadina Barbara. And then on Sunday evening, we will 3 o'clock service, we will have Bishop Alfreda Young bringing the word of God, and Archbishop will be ministering to the leaders of our city. And so we want to just come in and be on fire for the Lord. And if you desire to come to the Woman You Can't Come Down conference, you can go to the website www.flagsofworship.com. That is FLAGS of worship.com. And all of the information is on there. Just click on the conference tab, and all of the information that you need will be on there. The conference is $25 for the Saturday evening worship, Saturday day classes, and gracious and heavenly Father, we magnify you tonight, Lord God. You are gracious and heavenly, and Lord God, we lift the families, Lord God, and those that are sad or hurt, Lord God, from the injuries and the deaths that have taken place, oh God. We pray, Lord God, that they will have the spirit to know, Lord God, that you have never forsaken us, and that you were there with every one of them that left to be with you, oh God. And we just pray for the family members, even of those of the gentlemen that took the lives of those people that were in worship. And so we lift them up to you, Lord God, asking that you would wrap them in the cradle of your arms, oh God, and allow us, oh God, to know that we have the time to mourn and to the time to cry, and that it only should last for a moment, oh God, but that you will heal us, oh God, and allow us to know that death is not a punishment, oh God, but a promise, oh God. And so we pray, Lord God, that you would restore them, God, restore their hope and their faith and their trust, Lord God, in you, knowing that you, oh God, can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, oh God. So we just pray for those that are mourning right now, those lost, oh God, in the name of Christ Jesus. We come to thank you, oh God, for the word that will come forth tonight from the women of God. We are excited, oh God, about what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, oh God. Give us, oh God, ears to hear, oh God, and a mouth to then proclaim what we hear, oh God. Give us the feet to run, oh God, with the vision that has been planted on tonight, oh God. Give us the hands to put our hands to the plow, oh God, to begin to do the Let us be encouraged, oh God, by what the Spirit of the Lord has to say through the women of God, oh God. And we just pray right now in the name of Christ Jesus that you would stir up the gift that is within us, oh God. And we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, oh God, that we won't have any wavering or any doubt, oh God, but we would know, oh God, that it is you, Lord God, that says, thus saveth the Lord, oh God. And we pray right now, oh God, in the name of Christ Jesus, that you would link us arm in arm, hand in hand, oh God, that we may be able to fellowship one to another, oh God, minister one to another, oh God, and go in the highways and the byways, oh God, proclaiming your gospel, oh God. We seek your face, oh God, tonight. We praise you and give your glory, oh God. We know, oh Lord, Father, that you are here in the midst. We pray right now that Holy Spirit would enter in and have his way. We pray Holy Spirit would move oh God, in a mighty way. We pray Holy Spirit would reign and rule in the name of Christ Jesus. We lift you up and give you glory, for it is not by form or fashion that we've come tonight, oh God, but it is by your Spirit, the word of God, and your truth, oh God, that we've come to stand on the word, oh God. And we just praise you and magnify you in the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, and amen. Thank to God, I'm excited because I have a woman of God that is going to be before us tonight, and I'm just excited because she has the same kind of fervor, excitement, and of desire to see the work of ministry be done as I. And I just love to link arm in arm with the people of God that want to be about our Father. We have Minister Angela, who is, her last name is Brown, Minister Angela Brown, who has been happily married to Pastor Craig L. Brown, the senior pastor of St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church right here in Portland, Oregon. They've been married for 29 years. They have one daughter and one grandson. Minister Angela was called into the ministry in December of 99 at Abundant Life Church of God in Kitzingen, Germany, under the leadership of Covenant Class, member of the Mother's Board, Interim Young People's Willing Workers President, Sunday School Teacher, Beginning Sunshine Band Teacher, and Praise Team Leader. Minister Angela has served in the United States Army as a medical specialist, and after 10 years of a tour in Germany in the Army, Minister Angela and her family moved to Olympia, Washington. She accepted her call to ministry in June of 2004 as she began to preach and teach the Word of God under the spiritual headship of her senior pastor, Bishop Anthony R. Obey, and at New Life Baptist Church in Lacey, Washington, and was ordained in 2006. There she served also in many ministries. Minister Angela Brown endeavors to glorify God in all that she does by effectively sharing the Word of God and encouraging those who have already accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. She's passionate about healthy marriages and women coming together as a unified body of believers. She is dedicated to establishing strong relationships between couples, women, and mostly importantly, God. She desires that all people be empowered so they can be used in their homes, in their communities, and their churches for the upbuilding of the kingdom. Minister Angela is a graduate of Faith Evangelical College and Seminary in Tacoma, Washington, where she obtained a Bachelor's of Art degree in religion. Minister Angela Brown is now the First Lady of St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, where her husband, Pastor Craig, is the senior pastor. Minister Angela faithfully serves on the ministerial staff at St. Paul and is dedicated and committed to declaring God's word. Although she has obligations to the ministry team, she is dedicated to serving and supporting her husband as he receives guidance and direction from the Lord to lead St. Paul. This is a woman of God, and I want you to have a pencil and a piece of paper ready to make sure that you write the vision and the instructions that God is leading and giving through Minister Angela Brown. And I pray that the body of Christ would be excited about what the Lord has to say through my woman of God. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would be blessed by the word tonight. I'm excited about what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Minister Brown, you are live on the air.
Well, hello, Pastor Sherelle. I'm so excited about you inviting me to share the word of God with the Lighthouse, the Light of Portland broadcast, and to be able to share to hopefully hundreds of people across this great country of ours. It is truly a blessing. to be able to come before God's people using this means of reaching so many people at one time. So I thank you for allowing me this opportunity to share God's word with God's people.
Amen. I am so excited about what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. I believe in uniting ministries together because God has come. I'm now going to turn this platform over to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you and thank you again. I've labored over this and over this work that God has wanted me to share with people on tonight. And so I just ask that you guys just please open your hearts and your minds to be able to receive what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart. I'm just going to open up in just a quick word of prayer, and we're going to dive deep into God's word, and we're going to see what thus says the Lord. Amen. So, Father God, we just thank you and we praise you, God. We give you all honor and glory, Father. I ask, Father God, that you use me to share your word, Father God. I ask that you give me articulation, speech, clarity of thought, Father God, that you hide me behind your cross, Father God, so that people will see you and not see me. Let my words be your words, Father God. I ask that if there's anybody that's on this line today that doesn't know you, Father God, that they will become to know you and ask, what must I do to be saved, Father God? And I ask, Father God, that you edify those who are yours, Father. Give them encouragement to be able to run on and do what you have purpose for them to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to just talk a little bit about are you prepared for war. Amen. These last few weeks, as the Holy Spirit has been ministering to me, he's just been showing me some different things and about this world and about the things that the world is going through and how it's in such chaos and there's shootings going on. We know about the shooting that happened in Vegas. And then today, our very own Saints of God in Texas shot by an armed gunman, killing several people, wounding many others in the house of the Lord, which means that there is no safe place for us. We thank God that we have a building and a place that we're able to go and worship God in spirit and in truth. But we also need to be on guard. We also need to be aware of the attacks of the enemy. Sometimes in our lives, some things happen to us in our personal lives, in our jobs, our kids, church folks, our health, money issues, relationship, just life, just things that happen. Life just seems to just come up upon us. But we have to know that these are some of the tactics of the enemy. The enemy does not want to see us blessed. The enemy does not want us to receive the truth of God's word. And it kind of disturbs me a little bit to see that the saints of God are sitting back watching the enemy attack his people. Amen? Amen. So as we begin to go through these scriptures on tonight, it's not a time for us as saints of the Most High God to take cover or to retreat. It's time for us to take the fight to the enemy. We must recognize when we're under the attack of the devil, under the attack of Satan, under the attack of Beelzebub, deceiver, the liar, amen. No matter what name we give him, he is still yet the devil. And he is the one who does not want us to see God in glory. He wants us to go to him within the pit of hell that was made for him and his fallen angels that has now continued to increase because of the sins of the world. Amen. God never told us that we were not going to get attacked. Amen. In Matthew 10 and 16, it says, he sends us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Amen. And I began to just think about, even on my job, I've been going through these last month or so, and how you think this is a person, a good person, but they are clothed in righteousness, but they are a wolf under their garments. Amen. The enemy is out there, and his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. His job is to eat up our flesh. Amen. That's just like the devil. He goes back and forth, to and fro in the earth, seeking who he may devour. Amen. Are you prepared for war? Amen. We have to be on guard. We have to be alert. We have to be sober in our right minds, and we must be ready at all times. Saints, are you prepared for war? Are you ready to respond to God's call to send you? Are you ready to go in the name of the Lord? Are you ready to take the fight to the devil? Are you ready to go up against the enemy? Are you ready to fight the devil? Amen. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were drafted into this Christian army. Amen. And I was in the military for 3 years, and my husband, he retired at 26 and a half years. So I know about being enlisting in the army. Amen. It was a choice that I had. But when we're drafted, that means that you do not have a choice. A soldier is drafted, and they don't have a choice to choose if they go or not. We don't have a choice when we've been drafted. When we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been drafted into God's army, and we don't have a choice but to fight the enemy. Why is that, you say, Pastor Brown? It's because the enemy hates God. And because he hates God, he automatically hates us. So he doesn't want us to have the things that God wants us to have. Amen. He would rather for us to stay in our sins so that we can be where he is going. Amen. Listen, I want you to listen closely. We're not fighting against people, places, or things. This is a war against principalities from on high. And we have the right, we must have the right mindset. We can't go out there unprepared or we'll get destroyed by the enemy. We can't think we can win the battle with our carnal minds or with carnal means, because this is a spiritual war. And if we're not spiritual, if we're not saved, we're going to get defeated. We have to be a part of God's kingdom. Amen. Are you prepared for war? The Bible gives us many examples of how we can get prepared for war. But today, I'll be touching on 3 points: power, prayer, and praise. Amen. Power, prayer, and praise. And we're going to be looking at 3 key books, 3 scriptures, Luke 10 and 19, Ephesians 6 and 12, and then Ephesians 6 and 18. Amen. What is this war all about? What does it mean to be prepared? How can we defend ourselves against the enemy? We have to stop thinking that just because we're saved that we're not going to get attacked by the enemy. That is a trick of the enemy. As a matter of fact, because we're saved, we will get attacked by him, and we have to know how to protect ourselves. Amen? Remember, the enemy tried to attack Jesus, our Lord and Savior. What makes us think that he won't do the same with us? If he tried to get Jesus to sin and sell out, don't we know he'll try the same thing with us? Jesus' temptation happened just before the greatest breakthrough in his life and in his ministry. Our attacks normally happen before our biggest breakthrough. Amen? Why? Why is that? Why do you think that the enemy tries to come up against us just when we're right on the cusp, just when we're right on the edge of God giving us that promise? And that's exactly why. Because he doesn't want us to believe that God, want us to believe that God has our best interest at heart. He does not want us to believe that God does not want to bless us. God wants us to receive every blessing, every promise. God wants us to be delivered. God wants us to be saved. And every time that God is setting us up for that deliverance, setting us up for that breakthrough, I guarantee you that's when the enemy tries to call havoc in our lives. Amen? Amen. We cannot go into a spiritual battle without the proper equipment.
You would never think to go into physical war without the right stuff. Amen. There's no way that the army would send any soldier to war with just a slingshot, a rock, and a lid of a trash can. It's not going to happen. That's not how the war these days are fought. You will be sending your men and women out to battle knowing that they will not be victorious. That might have worked for David, but the military won't do it now. Amen. You cannot go into enemy territory without the things that you need to be victorious. You can't get into enemy territory as a Christian without the right equipment. Amen. Can I get to you guys to please turn with me to Luke 10 and 19? And now, first thing we're going to talk about is the power of God. Amen. Luke 10 and 19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. We all have an enemy who is like a terrorist to our souls. Amen? Amen. The devil is like a terrorist to our souls. A terrorist is someone, if you don't agree with their ideology, if you don't agree with their precepts, if you don't agree with them, then they're going to come against you. They are going to come attack you. Look at what happened at the Boston Marathon a couple of years ago. Because we don't agree, the Americans, we don't agree with their ideology, they came and they attacked us. Amen. That's the same thing that the devil is to the saints. He is a terrorist to our souls. Amen. If we don't realize this, it will be easy for him to manipulate us. He's not omniscient, nor is he omnipresent. He doesn't know all. He doesn't know every thought. He doesn't know what we're thinking. Amen. Nor is he everywhere. He can't be everywhere like God. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere that we are. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He has all power. Amen. If we don't finally realize that he is a limited and defeated foe, then we will be harassed by him continually. Amen. Only certain things can be revealed to us when can only understand or get it if it's revealed through the Holy Spirit. One thing Jesus did when he died and rose was to break the power of the enemy. When he defeated the enemy on the cross, he gave us authority over the devil. We have authority over ourselves. We have the authority over our thoughts. We have authority over if we're going to do right or if we're going to do wrong. We have authority over if we're going to follow the enemy or if we're going to follow God. Amen. Our relationship with God determines how much power we have. Christ redeemed us so that we could receive power to trample on the devil. We can't fight this war without power. Are you connected to God? Do you have a relationship with him? Is he head over your life? Are you studying his word, not just on Sunday, not just doing Sunday school, not just in Bible study, but are you studying his word? Are you getting in his word and seeking what his word says for your life? Christ hung, bled, and died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Christ left the Holy Spirit so that we could have power dwelling on the inside of us. Amen. Was Christ's death in vain? Christ did not die so that we didn't have this power. He died, and when he said, I'm going to send you a comforter, I'm going to send you someone that's going to be there to dwell in you, I'm going to send you a part of who I am. Amen. Do we have a form of godliness that's rendering us powerless? Do we have religion instead of relationship? We have to have the proper equipment, and the only way that we can get the necessary equipment is from God. Amen. Paul tells us that we need the word of God. We need the sword of the Spirit, which represents the word of God, and we need it in order to be fully protected. The word of God will give us power. We have to realize that when we read God's word, when we study God's word, there are some things in there that man that's out in the world cannot understand. This word was written for the saints of God. We can draw power and strength from the word of God. A Roman soldier would never have gone into battle without his sword. He wouldn't have felt as if he were well-armed or well-prepared without that big sword that he would carry into battle. When we have the word of God, we should feel equipped to fight in this world. When we're going through, we have to have some word to proclaim against the enemy. You have to have some type of word to be able to speak to your situation. You have to have the word to speak to your circumstances. Amen. You have to have the word to speak to your health, to your family, to your job, to whatever it is, to your money. You have to have the word. Amen. If we don't have any word in us, then we won't have anything to fight with. If we have no word in us, we have no power. No word, no power. Amen? If we don't have any in us, then we should feel like a soldier entering into battle without his sword, without a weapon. The word of God is our weapon to be used against the enemy. The sword, which is God's word, is used defensively to attack the enemy and offensively to destroy any traps that he has tried to set up against us. Amen? So we need to take the word to him and then watch God move through our word. He will destroy everything that the enemy has set up against us, any trap, any stumbling block. The word can defeat the enemy. Amen? Any traps that are set up against us, the word of God can defeat. The word will help us defend us against the lies, the tricks, the schemes that the enemy uses to keep us defenseless against him. Our weapon, somebody say weapon, which is truth in the scriptures, is far more powerful than any attack of the enemy. Paul tells us that no matter what, we have to know the word of God. Unless we're armed with the truth, we will be defeated. We will be destroyed. The word of God gives the saints power. The devil is rendered powerless against the word of God. He may know the word, but he doesn't believe the word. He doesn't follow the word. Are you a believer? Do you believe every word that comes out of this book, the Bible? Do you believe what God says about you? Do you believe that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ? Do you believe this? Because the devil doesn't believe it. He can quote it, he can say it, but he doesn't believe it and he doesn't live by it. Are you a believer? Are you living by the principles and precepts that God has shared with us through the Bible, through the word, through the truth of his scriptures? Amen. In the previous verses, Paul spoke about the church's heavenly calling and our and the earthly conduct. Now he will reveal the spiritual conflict. In verse 10, he's ready to give his conclusion. He says, finally, somebody says, finally that you've gone through all of this, finally that you know that you're being under attack of the enemy, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Paul says, finally, at last, I've taught you what your duties are. I've told you what you need to do. I told you that if you have faith, because of who you are, because of who I've called you to be, because I've chosen you, because you've accepted me as your Lord and Savior, because of who you are, there's going to be an all-out war between you and the enemy. The enemy is raising attack against the spirit-filled people of God. You saw that today in the church in Texas. Amen? There is no safe place for God's people. We have to always be on guard. We have to always be alert and sober and know that the enemy doesn't care. The enemy will come right up into God's place of worship, sit right next to you. And you need to have discernment and know that the enemy does not care about us. The enemy doesn't care that if we sin, he wants us to stay in our sin. He does not want us to go and be with God in glory. Amen. I want you guys to know that there will be no ceasefire. There won't be any truces made until Christ returns for his people. We will be engaged in battle with the enemy. He's not going to let up on us, so we have to be prepared. we won't have to go into this war alone, because God says we will engage in battle with his strength and his power. Isn't that good news to know that we will go into this battle with his strength and his power? Because if I went in the strength of Minister Brown, there's no way that I'd be able to defeat the enemy. There's no way that I'll be able to be victorious. There's no way that I can go on my job and still smile and glorify God and be in worship in my heart if I didn't go in God's strength, if I did not have the Holy Spirit. You're lost if you don't have the Savior in your heart. You're lost if you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's good news to know that this battle is not ours, that it's the Lord's, that he is going to fight our battles, that we are able to do it in his strength and in his power. Amen. We must understand that we can't do it in our own strength, because if we do, we're setting ourselves up for failure. We're setting ourselves up to lose. We must realize that we can't do anything, somebody say anything, unless we allow God to reign supreme in our lives. God has to be first. We can't put our jobs first. We can't put our money first. We can't put our children first. We can't put our husbands first or our wives first. God has to reign supreme in our lives. We have to recognize the tactics and the tricks and the schemes of the enemy. We need to be strong in the Lord. You must be strong in the Lord. We must be strong in the Lord. We need to be professing and living a life that resembles Christ. I told our congregation a few weeks ago that we are the salt and the light. People are looking to us. We may be the only Bible that somebody reads. So when we're going through, we have to be a resemblance of who Christ is. We need to have the character of Christ. So even if we're under attack, we can't be retreating. We can't be afraid. We can't run and hide. We have to bring God's word to the devil and let him know, I am a conqueror. Amen. I have the strength of God. God gave me authority to trample over the devil. He gave me authority to stomp on the devil's head. Does anybody have authority on tonight? Does anybody know that they have the power to stomp on the devil, that you can say, get thee behind me, Satan? And because if you say it in the name of Jesus, he has to get behind you? Amen. God has already proclaimed that in him we're strong, having strength or power greater than average or expected, not faith or feeble. We're not no weak saints. Amen. Amen. We'll gain strength from him by his mighty power. He's omnipotent. He has all power. If he has all power, then we have power because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Amen. If he has the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the power of the Holy Spirit just as the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We can look at 1 Samuel 3:30-6. That talks about how David strengthened himself in the Lord. David was distressed. He was troubled. He feared he would be stoned by the people. He drew strength from the Lord. Amen. He was able to conquer the raiders and recover all of their family's goods because he knew who to go to in the time of trouble. He knew that his strength was not in himself, because he would be overtaken by those that was up against him. Y'all know David had a lot of people that was always after him. Amen. And that's just like us. When we think back over our lives, all the times that the enemy was on attack in our lives, and how we had to draw strength from God. If we had not got that strength from him, that we wouldn't be able to make it. Amen. When we think we're down to the last count, when we think we have no strength left, we can draw strength from God, just like David. David knew that God's strength was there, was there for him because of the relationship that he had with him. David strengthened himself by remembering God's love and remembering the things that he'd done for him in the past. Do you remember the things that God has done for you? Do you remember how God brought you out? Do you remember there were times that you might not have food and God sent somebody to give you food that you didn't have to want for nothing. He said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Remember back how God has kept you, how God has brought you out, and you can draw strength from seeing how God has brought you out. David strengthened himself by remembering God's promises and the calling that he put on his life. God has promised us some things, and if we don't waver and if we don't give up, in due time, God is going to manifest those promises in our lives. And we can't allow the devil to take us off track. Amen. He knew who he was. He knew that God was on his side. All he had to do was call on him, and he would give him strength. Sometimes when we're going up against the devil, we don't even have to say a lot of things. If we just say, Jesus, I know when we call on the name of Jesus, God is in the midst of that, and he will send us help. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Your faith will give you power because it allows you to remember what God did for you in the past. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Amen. We may not be able to see the outcome because we have, but because we have a relationship with the Lord, he's proven how powerful he is in our lives. And time again, we shouldn't worry. We should have no fear. The battle is not too great or too big for our Lord. Amen. You know, I just think about all the things that God has brought me through. You know, I've done some things in my life that I'm not proud of, and there's some things that I self-inflicted have done to myself. And then there's things that God has allowed the enemy to tempt me with. Amen. And there's been times that I have fallen in those temptations. Amen. But as I began to grow and mature in the things of God, there are some things that the devil just can't tempt me with any longer. Amen. There's no thing that God can't conquer. There's no thing that he won't deliver us from if we go to him in his strength and in his power. Amen. We know that Jesus has already conquered Satan's power over sin and death. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, we may not be of the world, but we're in this world. And because we're in this world, we're going to be tempted. We're going to have trials. We're going to go through things. We're going to have issues that are going to come up in our lives that are going to require the power and strength of God. I would have it no other way, because if I try to do it in my power, my strength, I get tired. We're in this flesh. There's no way that I can continue this spiritual warfare in my own strength. I have to rely on the strength of God. Amen? Because we get weary sometimes. We get tired sometimes. But God is our strength. He's our health and our strength. We get joy. Our joy is our strength. Amen? So even though we may be going through some things, joy should even draw. We can draw strength from the joy that we have, knowing that we are in Christ Jesus and that he is there to fight our battles. Amen? Amen. We only have limited powers or limited abilities within ourselves when we're engaged in a spiritual war. Fists just won't do. Our mouths just won't do. We can't go up against the enemy and fight like we used to fight out in the world. Amen? Fighting in the natural is to no avail. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because the enemies that you're going to face, you will need the strength of the Lord and only him. Amen. Somebody say, the strength of the Lord. Amen. God spoke the world into existence out of nothing. He is powerful. He don't need nothing. He don't even need us. But that's why he said that you can fight in my strength. I can speak things into existence, and there they are. Amen. God wants to flex in our lives. Amen. I love that. God wants to flex in our lives. Amen. You see the people in the gym, and they're standing in the mirror, and they're flexing their muscles. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to flex for us. I don't have to flex. I don't have to go against nobody with my mouth or with my hands. I don't have to try to retaliate against anybody because of the power and the strength that I have in me through the Holy Ghost. God wants to flex in my life, and I'm going to let him flex for me. Amen. Won't you do the same? We don't need to fight anybody with our hands and our fists and our mouths. Let God be your fighter. Let him fight the battle for you. Amen. The devil is going to try and break us down and try to discredit the word of God. He'll try to create unbelief and doubt in our minds. He will use the same tactics that he used against Eve in Genesis 3, 1 through 4. And it reads, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." That's why you best know the word of God. Amen. Because the enemy will come and try to twist it and try to manipulate it and try to make it sound not the way that God has it to be. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of you so that you'll be able to discern God's word, that you'll be able to understand God's word, that you'll be able to have a knowledge of what God's word says. Amen. Amen. The same things that he's tried before, he'll try them again. There's nothing new under the sun. The same thing that the devil got Eve with, he's trying that same thing with us now. He's trying to tell us that God does not say you will surely die. Oh, yes, you would. Sin is sin. Amen. And the wages of sin is death. So if we stay in our sins, the wages of sin is death. There's no getting around there. There's no other way to interpret God's word. We have to know his word and be able to speak that thing back to the enemy. Amen. Because he will want to twist it, and he will want to make you want to give up. The devil ain't that smart, y'all. He can only rely on old tricks, and he will still get trapped by him because he's using those old tricks, that old trickery that he's used for centuries and centuries. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Wrestle means there's a struggle or some type of hand-to-hand combat. You guys remember when we used to watch wrestling on TV? Some people still watch wrestling. I remember my brothers, when they were young, they used to love for my dad, my uncles to take them to the wrestling match. Amen. And you see the wrestlers on TV always resorted to trickery or deceptiveness or schemes. Amen. They never wrestle fair. Amen. That's just like the devil and his imps and his angels and his followers. Amen. Paul is telling us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. He tells us it's with the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's not you. I hope it's not you. Well, then why are we continuing to fight against our brothers and our sisters in Christ? If you're not the wicked one, if you're not the deceiver, if you're not the deceptor, if you're not the liar and the cheater and the backbiter, then why are we fighting against each other? Paul is telling us that we're fighting against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, amen? We're fighting against the enemy and his fallen angels. We shouldn't be fighting this war against each other. We should be joining hand in hand, breath to breath. We should be praying for one another. We should be praying with each other. We should be doing things, bringing people to the kingdom of God and recognizing when somebody is doing something and it's not them, that it is the enemy. Amen? This war isn't against our brothers and sisters. We're not in a war with each other. Even though we might have enemies in the natural, that does not mean that in the spiritual war that we're supposed to be in conflict with one another. we are on the same team. Somebody say the same team. Amen. We don't need to fight against each other. We need to pray about it, then praise about it, and then let God fight our battles. We always saying that the battle isn't ours anyway, but it's the Lord's. We always want to quote that scripture, but then we want to try and go and curse somebody out. Amen. We want to try to give somebody a piece of our mind. Amen. And I told some people a couple of years ago in church that I need every piece of mind that I have, and I can't continue to give a piece of my mind to everybody who tries to come up against me. I'm going to allow God to fight my enemies like he said that he would. He said that we're not supposed to fight against each other. We're fighting against the darkness of this world. We're fighting against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, and that's not our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. When we spend so much time fighting one another, the devil keeps advancing on us. We're supposed to be defending our position, but we've allowed the enemy to put yet another distraction in front of us. Y'all know that's all that it is. And when we fall for it time and time again, before we know it, he was back 500 meters, then 200 meters. Now he's within striking distance. We need to stop fighting amongst each other and focus on the enemy who's trying to take the saints of God out. Amen. Let's fight against the things that we're intended to fight, and that's principalities from on high, evilness, malicious spirits who make war against the people of God. And like I said, if the devil didn't hate God so much, he wouldn't even bother us. It's all about God. It has nothing to do with us. Amen? Amen. We need to make sure that when we're going into combat, when we are fighting against the enemy, that we're fighting powers from on high. And we need to fight with the word, we need to fight with prayer, and we need to fight with praise. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. We need to fight with the word, we need to fight with prayer, and we need to fight with praise. Amen. We can't play with the devil because he is deceptive and he's the father of lies. He can disguise himself as an angel of light, and his servants disguise themselves as servants of the righteous. Amen. We have to be on guard, or they can fool us into thinking that they are God. You must be rooted in your relationship with the Father in order to know the difference. Amen. You have to know God's voice. You have to know who you are. You have to know that you were fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of Christ. Amen. Amen. If we don't know who we are, we will be tricked every time. Amen. We have to realize that there's going to be some distractions, but there is no distinction between officers and privates when we're fighting in this war. There's no distinction between captains and enlisted men. There's no distinction between the weak and the strong. There's no distinction between the clerks in the rear or the people that's fighting on the front line. We are all officers in God's army, and we are invested with all authority that this rank implies. Ain't you glad about it? That you have authority no matter what your rank is in the army, from the baby saint to the most seasoned saint. Amen. Amen. You still yet have authority. We can command the devil to get thee behind us. He has to, because we've said it. Amen. We can say flee in the name of Jesus, and he has to go. Amen. The devil doesn't care how long we've been saved. All he cares is about is what authority do we have to cast him out. If we're in Christ Jesus, we can boldly say, come in the name of my Father, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the authority over the enemy because we're in God's army. Amen. Amen. Prayer. Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Know who God is. Knowing that we have power would be of no help against the enemy if there weren't any prayer involved. No matter how complete the armor, no matter how skilled we are in battle, no matter how courageous we are, without prayer, we will be defeated. So you have to have not only the power, but you also have to be linked up with some prayer. Amen. Amen. Always praying in every season of our lives. We should be praying without ceasing. We should be praying in our secret closets. We should be praying at the prayer meetings. We should be praying at the church. We should be praying with our families. We should be praying at work. We should be praying in our car. We should be praying at any hour of the night or day. We should be praying when we're tempted. We should be praying when we're not tempted. We should be praying when we're going through. We should be praying when we're waiting to go through. Prayer not is not just for me and mine, but pray for our brothers and sisters. And never become discouraged, but encouraged, knowing the outcome of our prayers will render us victorious over the enemy. Perseverance, consistent, fervent prayer. That means always praying, praying without ceasing. Not just praying for you, but praying for those that you know are going through, praying for those down in Texas, praying for those in base, praying for other family members that's not in your family that's not saved, praying that somebody get delivered, praying that somebody get saved. Amen? Amen. We ought to always be praying, persevering, consistent. That means that we're praying every day. We're praying all through the day. We're praying when we don't feel like praying, we still yet praying. Amen? Amen. Supplication, humbly going to God with your request, earnestly pleading with him, telling him what you need. He wants to know because he wants to help us. He wants us to get through these things that we're going through. He don't want us to stay in the fight all the time. He wants to see us through. He wants to see us victorious over that thing so that we can get prepared for the next thing because it's going to come. Amen. Amen. He wants to bless us. He wants to see us receive the things that he has promised us. Hebrews 5 and 7 says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was hurt because of his piety. This was Jesus during his Gethsemane experience. And we know that his deity says that not only was Jesus flesh, not only was he human, but he was yet also divine. Amen. He was also yet divine. Amen. So when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, even he prayed to God. Even he knew where his strength lied. Even he knew where his deliverance came from. He was a man. He was in the flesh, so he was pain. There were some things that he was going through, knowing that he was going to have to take the sins of the world to the cross. He knew that he had to atone for us. Amen. Even he knew to go to the Father in prayer. Amen. He knew where his help comes from. He knew that God could give him strength to get through this. And it's the same thing that we need to do when we go to God in prayer. Know that he hears your cries. Know that he's going to help you get through it. He may not get you through, may not deliver you right that moment, but he will give you strength to be able to endure until the end. Amen. Amen. Your prayer of supplication will ensure God guard your heart and your mind. If you look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7, you guys read that your prayer of supplication will ensure God guards your heart and your mind. And y'all know that when you're going through, sometimes you may feel like you're losing your mind. Amen. But if in our prayers you say, God, just set a watch over my mind. God, set a watch over my heart. Please, Lord, don't let the enemy get in. I rebuke you, Satan. God, cover my mind in your blood. Cover my mind with your anointing, Father God, that I may not hear the things that the enemy is trying to say, because he does not want us to receive, so he's going to come to try to speak in our ears and try to get that in our hearts and our minds so that we doubt God. Amen. We always have to be on watch, knowing that when you're in the will of the Lord, the enemy is going to try and attack, and it could be at any given moment. And then if there's any witnesses out there, I know you know the enemy will attack at any given moment. He don't give us no warning sign. He just shows up. Amen. Matthew 26 and 41 says, warns us to be on alert so that when the attack comes, we don't fall into temptation. Our flesh will want to give up, but our soul wants to win. Amen. The Spirit of God wants to win. We have to keep ourselves prayed up and fully connected to God. Amen. And lastly, we're going to look at praise. Let's take a look at Psalm 18, 1 through 3. Psalm 18, 1 through 3. Amen. Psalm 18. Y'all got it? Amen. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Amen. Here we have a praise in the midst of trouble. Amen. When we begin to praise in the midst of our battle, God will be our rock and our fortress. He will be our strength in the time of trouble. He will be our buckler. He will be our horn of salvation. In the midst of our praise, when we call upon the Lord, who is worthy, is God worthy to be praised? When we call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Amen. I challenge you all that when you're in the midst of a battle, if you would just begin to rejoice, if you just begin to send up a conviction of worth, to send up a sincere adoration, an inward emotion of gladness, a rejoicing of the heart, how much is God worth to you? Is God's praise worthy? It's our duty to praise God when we don't. We withhold from God's glory that which belongs to him. Amen. Amen. When we praise God during those times of trials and tribulations, during those times, our soul thirsts to be close to God. The devil can't understand. He just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand why we would want to praise God when our flesh is feeling so bad. Amen. That's when we need to put our flesh under subjection and begin to praise God and give him completely everything that he deserves. We need to tell him how much we adore him. We need to tell him how much we love him. We need to thank him for keeping us. We need to thank him even for going through this trial. Amen. Even going through this storm. Even going through this war. We need to let God know who he is in our life. God is majestic, isn't he? Isn't God holy? Isn't God the creator? Isn't God the creator and not the creation? Hasn't he redeemed us? Isn't he Alpha and Omega? Isn't he the beginning and the end? Isn't he just God? Didn't he speak everything into existence? Didn't he save us one day? We ought to give God some praise just for saving us. Amen. Because he is worthy of our praise. Amen. The whole book of Psalms from 100 to 150 is a book of praise. Amen. Even in spite of all the things that David was going through, David was able to muster up a praise because he knew that in his praise that God was going to deliver him. Amen. Amen. Psalms 18 and 1 through 3 is the greatest example of allowing us to see that God, when we call on him, when we praise him, that he will be our rock and our fortress and our deliverer. No matter what, we draw our strength through our praise. Amen. Amen. David could offer up this praise because he remembered how God delivered him from Goliath. Do you remember when God delivered you from your giants? David could offer up this praise because he remembered how God delivered him from backsliding. Do you remember when God delivered you? Amen. David could offer up this praise because he remembered how God delivered him from Israel's enemies. Do you remember when God delivered you from your enemies? David could offer up this praise because he remembered how God delivered him from his sinful ways, from his sinful past, and from the lust of his flesh. Do you remember when God delivered you? Then if you do remember, if you remember when God delivered you from all of these things, God inhabits the praises of his people. So then, right now, in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your issues, in the midst of what you're going through, in the midst of whatever is going on in your life, you ought to render up a praise unto God. He takes up residence in our lives and in our situations when we praise him. When we give God what's due to him, he will come and see about us. He will come and minister to us in our praise. He will give us some peace in our praise. He takes notice when we praise him in our situation. He sits up and he listens. He says that that's my child. I hear you, baby. I'm coming to see about you. He gives us strength to fight against our battles through our praise. Victory is in your praise. Healing is in your praise. Deliverance is in your praise. Freedom is in your praise. Praise will confuse the enemy. He don't understand our praise. He don't understand our worship. He don't understand why we want to go up and pray to God who allows us to go through some of these things. But offer up a praise unto him in spite of what you're going through. And I guarantee you, God will come and see about you. God will give you peace. He'll give you joy. He'll give you deliverance. He'll give you salvation. He'll give you healing. God will do it. Try him and see. Amen. Are you ready for war? Are you ready to battle against the enemy? Are you ready to give everything that you have over to God? Are you ready to take those marching orders and get drafted into God's army? Are you equipped to use what God has gave you, the power, the prayer, and the praise, so that you can be victorious? It's war. And you're ready to fight if you have the power of God. You have the prayer in your heart, and you have the praise on your lips. God bless you, and I hope this word has blessed somebody on today to know that you can be in a battle, but all you need to be able to be victorious is to have the power of God, prayer in your heart, and a praise on your lips. God bless you.
Amen. What a mighty word we need at this hour, because we are in a war. You did not know. You should know now. There is no turning back. We are in a war. You need all the word against the wiles of the enemy. You need the word of God, and you need your praise. Woman of God, I thank you so much for the word of God tonight, and I look forward to having you on the Light of Portland broadcast with us again. And I am so blessed to know that as long as I continue in my word of God, and I continue in my prayer, and I continue in my praise with my faith, I know that there is nothing that the enemy can stand against me and win, because we already know, because we read the end of the book, that we win. So thank you so much, Minister Brown, for the word of God. I truly, truly received a word from the Lord tonight, and I was truly blessed. And I pray that each and every one of you that have tuned in to the Light of Portland broadcast tonight have been blessed by the word of God. And so I pray that the Lord would bless each and every one of you. I pray that the Lord would keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you, giving you both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. We are here every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So until next Sunday, may the Lord bless, cover, and keep you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for tuning in, and good night.